It's the Big Punk Show with Mike and Jamie. I've caught that. It's the Big Punk Show with Mike and Jamie coming at you from Media City. As always, Quarantine Zone 5. My reports from Quarantine Zone 5. There's a lot of cunts knocking about on bikes, like bicycles, teeny tiny BC Claras. people sort of... Media City's been weird, right? Because there's that bit of grass where the Blue Peter Garden is, and there's been people there every day, and they've not really been social distancing that much. And actually, the centre of Media City, considering there's so many Johns on Segways, there are quite a lot of people who are just sort of larking about together. And I'm like,
yeah.
I wonder if that's because this, because it's Media City and it's like a bit of a nice area and everyone's a bit middle class. I wonder if that's why.
I reckon it is. What's the kind of segue going to do anyway?
I know, because if it was a park in Chorlton and there was like 10 people on bikes all round in a park, Dibble would be there in like 10 minutes, do you know what I mean? So, but then again, yeah. You know, I only observe brief glimpses of Media City. I don't get to absorb all of it at all times. But I have seen a few people arcing around. That's Quarantine Zone 5. Mike, how's your Quarantine Zone going?
All right, yeah, it's been all right. The weather's been nice, luckily. So I've been on a lot of strolls through the valley. It's kind of weird though, because like we had that phase in the first few weeks where like every cunt was out walking, and my peaceful time in the countryside was now basically like going to a park. But it's kind of everyone just started driving again, so it's kind of calmed down now. Like, there's not as many people about, and I think people have got bored of going out for walks. So that's kind of, without sounding like a cunt, benefiting me, because now I don't have to see as many people in the public when I go for a nice walk in the valley.
Same. I've actually, the amount of people I've found out on walks has gone down, especially as the weather turned. As soon as it got cloudy, cunts were not out on walks. I've done a couple of 12Ks here and there. I got all the way to Withington and back in, 150 minutes.
Nice.
And I was quite impressed with that, because the first time I walked to Withington, I did go a slightly faster path. This is the entertainment we've got for everybody at this point of quarantine, by the way. do you know what? I'm not even going to carry on, because this is the kind of conversation that I would go through daily at work with people and just want to die. So we'll move swiftly on. Mike, yesterday was a fake day. We love a fake day. Jawbreaker have a fake day. Not as many people. Quite funny, right? Quite funny. Yesterday was Lagwagon Day. They have a song called May 16. If you're not familiar with Lagwagon, they were a skate punk band in the 90s, the 2000s. They wore baggy pants, singer had blue hair, classic affair, on a Tony Hawk game. Standard lark, few good songs, mainly nonsense. You probably hear them in a goth club. It's all right. I used to love Lagwagon. I used to absolutely adore Lagwagon. I can't listen to them anymore. I find them not irritating, but I just don't want to listen to that kind of music.
You've grown out of it.
Yeah, I just don't want to listen to that kind of music at all. Like, but it was quite funny. There was obviously people who were buzzing about the fact that it was Lagwagon's Day, and then there was people slagging it off. One thing I thought is I was like, I don't see as much hate for Jawbreaker Day. People kind of, you're allowed to like that one a bit more. But
we famously learned that not as many people liked Jawbreaker as we thought last year.
We did. We learned that the hard way. I think they might have learned that as well.
I don't know, yeah. I think a lot of promoters and bands learned that last year. But, it's weird, like, May 16, it's that day where I've not listened to Lagwagon properly in that long. Like, I had that period of about 2017 where I was listening to them a lot, all like the first year we started the band. There's a lot of Lagwagon going on. It's like all that fast melodic punk, and then I don't know. It does just get a bit much after a bit, and you just like
does get a bit much.
It just kind of starts to sound the same.
It does. It's like we said, what if this is shit?
Yeah, and I don't know. It's one of kinds of music where you just got like constant same drum beat and that. And
well, this is funny.
You naturally just fall out of it.
I wasn't expecting this, because. Before we started recording, you were saying that you wanted to chat about Let's Talk About Feelings.
No, I was going to get around to that. because it's nostalgia, isn't it?
Right, okay. Because you, well, this is great. So let's talk about feelings, Mike. Why don't you give people a rundown on what you were going to say? Because I just can't wait to take you apart.
All right, okay. Well, what I was going to start off with, like, just to kind of set a bit of context, like, when I was listening to a lot of Wagwag, and I was like 18, 19, right? And now I'm 21 next month. Sorry, 22 next month. So that's just to kind of set the scene. That's quite a pivotal moment in your life to change listening to music. So I just want to make that flat out as why I've kind of stopped listening to them. But my point is, that album, when I first kind of got into them, I listened to the other stuff, but like that was the album that had the kind of blend of good melodies and the great, like, obviously, skate punk drums. You know, it wasn't too, like, the first album's a bit metal-y, innit? It's a bit like, it doesn't quite do it. Trashed is fucking mint. That's just chaotic. It's just ridiculous. And then, like, Hoss and That Arrive, that's the first full album that I've really got into by then. Like, I just stuck it on and every song just seemed to slap.
Right. Right.
And yeah, but go on. What's your counter argument?
Right. Lagwagon, like a lot of Fat Records bands of that era, have good songs but awful albums. Which was always kind of my thing with NoFX when I liked them. I could listen to all of Punk and Drublet, but I couldn't sit through an entire NoFX album otherwise.
Oh, mate, yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of skipping going on. Let's talk about Feelings, right? After You, My Friend. That's a banger. That's a great song. We love that song.
Yeah.
We love that song. Right. Gun in Your Hand, not arsed. Leave the Light On, not arsed. Changed Despair, not arsed. The only good thing about
this... Changed Despair is a great song.
It's all right. The only good thing about this album is all the songs are about fucking 2 minutes long, so none of them are on for that long, which is great.
Yeah.
Train shit. Hurry Up and Wait, doesn't matter. It's 30 seconds, obviously. We'll just skip that. Everything Turns Grey. Go on.
Yeah.
No, go on.
All right. Oh, sorry. I thought you were just going to continue.
No. Go on. Yeah, everything turns. I'm lingering on a few. Go on.
All right. You know what? Like, you're fucking wrong here. Like, you just are. All them songs roll into each other really fucking well. That's why it makes a good album, because, like, all the songs are quite short. But the way they all roll into each other.
Because you don't think all the songs are a bit dead, though?
I don't know.
They can all roll in together, but if it's still rolling into a big pile of shit.
No, what I mean is, like, all that, then, Everything Seems Great is a bit of a fucking dud song, but the rest are all bangers, like Messengers as well. That's fucking cheating.
Alright. Messengers is alright. The Kids Are All Wrong's okay.
That's good, because the way it leads into May 16 makes it, like,
it's
kind of like the prelude for that.
Yeah. Like Brain Stew was into the much better song Jaded.
Yeah, definitely. What it is about this album, like, because it's not got the kind of standalone bangers. Like, I wouldn't listen to many of the songs on their own, apart from maybe like May 16, Change Despair, Hurry Up and Wait, even if it's only that fucking short. But it's the way, as a whole album, it's almost like a Mile Goes to College. You just listen to the thing in full, like, rather than like individual songs, really. I feel like the other albums, like Hoss and Trashed and that, have got the better, like, standalone songs.
Okay, that's
but as a full album, that is my favorite full album by them.
Okay, that's quite interesting, because did they play it in full when they played Rebellion?
Yeah, I thought it was fucking mint.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. That was it. I was a bit annoyed by that, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, you know what?
But anyway,
you know what? You could have gone fucking watch someone else then.
I was with you. You're my mate. Anyway, I don't know what I did want to see. I mean, obviously, they have got, you know, they've got great. I've said great songs, bad albums. So the fact that you say that you listen to it in one go rather than individual songs, I can get that. I actually do get that. There's a lot of albums where I just I'll put the whole thing on. It's quite funny. One album I do that with, but it has actually got good standalone songs on it, is Tim by The Replacements. I do that with that. But Milo Goes to College is like the classic, because it's like 23 minutes long. It's the classic. I'll just stick the whole album on.
Yeah, it's not worth like queuing up loads of songs. You just listen to that whole piece, because all the songs like don't really surpass more than 2.5 minutes, do they?
I like to think Dirt Mars like that, because that's a fucking short album.
Yeah.
It's only nine songs, isn't it?
I listen to it on my walk to work anyway. I think it rolls off. I think all the songs roll into each other brilliantly. Cheers, Alex. Anyway,
I just reminded myself that Lagwagon have a cover of Brown Eyed Girl as well.
You're not doing him any favours. So, Lagwagon, I tell you what, right? While I may slagging him off, I will roll back and give some love where it's due. Very much due. Trashed, right? Trashed.
Yeah, fantastic record.
1994, the greatest year in music. Trashed is an album, right, that as an entire album, it has got its skips on it, but I think it overall is, for me, it's not necessarily got the strongest song. Well, this is quite weird, actually. I'm going to have to... Oh, okay, this is going to be... This is quite researchy now. So, Island of Shame, a lot of people like that song. I actually fucking can't stand that song. I think it's quite boring, but it's followed by Lazy, right? Lazy, Know It All, and Stoking the Neighbours. Stoking the Neighbours, again, it's not my favourite song, but Lazy and Know It All. Now, the first time I listened to Trashed, me and Redacted were going to see him, and the Flatliners were supporting in Manchester. And I was like, oh, I've always, you know, I hear about Lagwagon all the time. I should give him a listen. Somebody recommended that I listen to Trashed. They said it was the best album. And I was listening, round at my first girlfriend's flat in Salford. She was asleep, I was playing World of Warcraft, a classic setup, smoking hash. And when I heard Lazy, and mate, 00 Moroccan hash, amazing. And I can remember this so clearly, when I heard Lazy for the first time, I was about 18, I was at uni, right? So 18, mind blown. Mind blown, yeah. Man. I thought that was such a good song, and I really like Know It All as well. I like Coffee and Cigarettes too, and my favourite Lagwagon song, Going South's on here.
Going South, yeah.
I don't know why I love Going South so much. It might be because of the King of the Hill clip at the beginning. It might just be because it's fun. I don't know. But Hoss, right, we seen him play that live in full.
Yeah. That was good.
Let me redact my point.
It was good to see it played in full. It was just not a very busy gig at all.
No.
That was the kind of downside, but it was good to see songs like Rifle and what's the fucking song called? Shaving Your Face.
Razorburn.
Razorburn.
Oh, do you know what? Actually, Razorburn, that might be my favourite.
Bombs Away as well. Bombs Away.
Actually, Hoss is... Yeah. All right. Credit where it's due. Credit where it's due. All right, you got me.
It's a bit long-winded, Hoss. Like, there's some good songs in it, but some of the songs just go on for a while.
Well, that one's long-winded. Do you like Double Platinum? Because I'm looking at it, I'm looking at what songs are on it. Alienate and Making Friends is, like, the piano version of that. That's actually, genuine, brilliant. So that's why people fucking rate Joey Cape as a songwriter, that. Because Making Friends, that's a great song, that. Two All My Friends, that's also quite good. I Don't Mind Choke, and Alienate's obviously brilliant.
I don't really like Double Platinum that much. Like...
There's a weird... I don't like the production on it. I hate the production on it. But
the double track vocals fucking mean.
But Alienate's good though, right?
Yeah, Alienate's a class song. That's one of my favourites.
I'm terrified because we double tracked quite a lot of vocals on Roach. Not on Roach, sorry. Yeah. On Dirtmoor. Quite a lot of it's double tracked. And I'm terrified of double tracking because of Double Platinum.
Is that really?
Yeah, I'm always dead scared of it. I'm like, oh, I don't know about that.
I think it's just depends how you do it. Because I think for that kind of music, it hits a bit differently. Because it's so fast and everything, a bit much going on. I don't know, maybe it's just a bad bit of production, you know. Thought it was good at the time. Didn't translate well in, you know, history throughout time.
Do you know what? I tell you a Fat Records band that I think are bringing new music out. I think Get Dead are bringing some new music out, you know.
Are they?
I think so. They've been making some mysterious... I'll message me on Mucker Sam.
We'll
get an inside scoop. I won't do it now because it's fucking one in the afternoon here. Foot knows what time it is over there. And there's a global pandemic.
Don't be waking people up, do you?
Yeah. Sorry, Sam, can I just wake you up, please, there, mate? You're right, cock. You're bringing a new music out. No, fuck off, Sam. Yeah, cheers, nice one. Right, cool. He might be listening, actually. I hope you are, Sam. I hope you're well. I miss you, mate. I miss you. Miss you a lot. Miss all of you. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. What I am missing right now, Mike.
What?
I'm really, 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 really missing, yeah, coming home from work.
What, just being like, oh, I can do what I want for the next few hours?
Yeah, waking up. The thing is the freedom I've got at the moment's great. The fact I can't do anything limits that freedom. But
yeah.
I am missing certain things. I'm missing certain aspects. I'm missing having things to moan about. I like a little moan me. I don't like to...
Yeah.
I don't like to... Now, no one likes a moaner. I don't like to think I am a moaner, but I do like to have a bit of a moan. And my things to moan about are just too obvious at the moment. I need very specific things, mate. Moaning about...
Yeah, you need to do your head in.
Yeah, moaning about, like, sort of about, you know, fucking capitalism and coronavirus is just irrelevant because obviously it's awful. That's like, you know, I don't need to moan about that because other people are already moaning about it themselves. A good moan is about something that, for me, a good moan is about, is when you moan about something that someone else just isn't asked about. Someone else hasn't thought to be annoyed about. That's a good moan. I really like it when people moan about things that I just wouldn't have thought to be angry about. I'm like, oh, that's such an interesting thing to be annoyed about.
That's like me and you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very pissed off about very specific things that just don't matter.
Yeah, pretty much. But you know what, though? There's a difference. I always say, like, people who, like, have a moan, and people who, like, like, you know, when you kind of go into somewhere, somebody's just like, oh, fuck you, oh, I'm going to be ill, oh, well, to do this, you can't be arsed. It's just like, shut the fuck up.
There is
like,
there's a difference between a moan and a complaint, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's a moan is valid. Complaining is just like,
I think a moan is light-hearted. I think if you're moaning about, I feel like if you're moaning about something, you're aware that you're moaning about, you're very aware that you're being a bit arsey. You kind of like, you're hamming it up a bit, you know, you're just like, oh, for fuck's sake, oh, it's so, and you're sort of having a bit of a joke, you know, a moan, you know, it's a bit of a joke, do you know what I mean? But a complaint, a complaint's a bit different. Should we look at the dictionary for a complain and moan?
Oh, like people who whinge, that's it. That's the best word. People who just have a fucking whinge.
Oh, but I do like a bit of a whinge.
But like,
I think a lot of people... I think there's a few people who would actually say I'm a bit of a whinger. I think there's a few people who might be like...
I think there's quite a lot of people who say you're a whinger.
All right, well, you can fuck off. No, don't we have to keep doing the show, obviously. So, got to do what a week.
Can't go into blows.
We can't do. I'm not that much of a whinger. I was really hoping you'd be like, no, Jamie, it's all right. You're not a moaner. You're not a whinger.
You're having a whinger right now.
I am, but that's, you can't you can't really hold that against me. I have to. It's what... Go on. No, tell me.
I was going to say, tell you what's an underrated Lagwagon song. I must be hateful.
Fucking hell, you love Lagwagon, you. You won't fucking leave him alone. You're trying to get signed to Fat Records, you lad. You got a new band coming up, you got a fucking skate punk band coming up, you doing the butt foot titty foot beat, yeah.
I've just got
a pair of new dicky shorts actually. Thought I'd go for it.
They're kind of like knee length, like three quarter length, and I've got these new tube socks.
I seen on Facebook Jordan from Skiv was having a little prod at the old Lagwagon. I'm having a little prod about Lagwagon there. And Jordan from Skiv commented, beer goggles, I like to put them on with the full stops and exclamation marks all in caps. And I was immediately transported back to being sat on that settee in a blistering 30 degrees heat. Beer goggles, I like to put them on. We're not really selling Lagwagon here, but if you want to know why I kind of, you know, like taking piss out of them, go listen to a song called Beer Goggles. It's a perfect reason to give a band shit, that. It's a very valid reason to give a band shit.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
We've got it as well. There's so many valid reasons to give our band shit. So many.
Oh, yeah.
So many.
At least we know it.
We do know it. Well, I mean, we're not. I'm not suggesting Das Wagon aren't aware. I'm sure they probably are. But that's what makes the world go. Anyway, let's leave Lagwagon alone for 12 minutes.
All right, you carried it on.
Oasis brought out a new song. sort of.
It's shit. Of course no one's singing on it.
I don't mind it, but, you know. It's funny it's that just, it's funny that Noel's it's funny that Noel's singing on it because it's like, oh, it's, well, it's High Flying Birds then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a Noel's, it's just a 2000s Oasis song. Like, it's, I don't know, it could be just a filler on any of the albums he brought out between 2000 and 2009. Like,
well, Lila had its anniversary for coming out a few days ago.
Oh yeah, Don't Believe the Truth got out.
How many years ago did what year did Don't Believe the Truth come out?
2005.
Fucking hell. So what's that? 15 years? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking hell. It's about that.
Wow. That was a... I mean, I might be biased because obviously 2005, I'm very much aware of music at that point.
Yeah.
But that for me, after the first two albums, that's their best album after the first two.
It's the best after BA Now. BA Now's not a bad record.
What songs are on BA Now?
I hope, I think I know.
Hang on.
Oh, so Young to B-side.
Let me take this to the Google.
Stand
again.
By Me.
Stand By Me is all right, but it's a bit boring, isn't it? A bit middle of the road.
The title track, being that was a fucking banger. Wash your face in the morning sun.
Right, B&L.
It's better than Tree's impression of Gallagher.
Do you know what I mean?
That's a bit long.
Yeah, but that's a good song. I like that one. I really like that one.
It's too long.
All Around the World. There you go. I knew there was one. Yeah, All Around the World.
Don't Go Away, the tune.
Yeah. Magic Pie's funny.
My Big Mouth, that's a fucking banger.
Fade In, Fade Out?
Yeah, I like Fading Out.
Is it not called Fade In, Fade Out?
Yeah, it's called Fading Out.
Oh, is it?
Oh, wow. There's a good there's a song that's a B-side called The Fame, which is an old song where you can tell he's at a point where he's done all the cocaine.
he's finished it.
A song together, and it's the one where he's going. There's a bit where it's like the line in the verse is like, swigging your champagne, and it rhymes with sniffing your cocaine. It's like, I'm a man of choice in my own Rolls Royce. It's like, oh God, no, come on.
Yeah, it's very funny. That is very funny. I tell you what, though, I'm going to put that tit for tat with Don't Believe the Truth, yeah? Don't Believe the Truth, Turn Up the Sun, big tune, big
That's
tune.
That's a fucking banger.
Big tune, Mucky Fingers.
That's all right.
Lila, banger.
Oh yeah, Lila's a fucking tune, obviously.
I couldn't tell you Love Like a Bomb. I couldn't tell you how that song went. I can tell you how Importance of Being Idle goes. It goes brilliantly. That was their biggest hit in years, that song.
Yeah, the video was mint as well.
Yeah, it's very Kasabian, that video. Meaning a Soul, underrated Oasis song.
Yeah, that's a really good song. It is. Let There Be Love.
Yeah. And then I also, Let There Be Love's at the end. I like that one as well. And A Bell Will Ring's all right. So that's all right. That's worth listening to.
It's not a bad album. It's one of them, it's very much like Oasis in the 30s, isn't it? Like, it's when they've been established as a bit of a dad band as well. Like, people who were going to watch Oasis in 2005 weren't, like, the best-dressed people.
That's not fair, though, because no one was well-dressed in the early 2000s. No one was, Mike.
Mate, I'll show you this photo of, like, of people who went to that gig in 2005 or 6 at the Etihad, and it's fucking abysmal. Like, everyone's got the worst Liam Gallagher or Ian Brown imitation haircut. A lot of boot-cut jeans and, like, gazelles. Just very, very, very questionable fashion choices going on. Like mod Target T-shirts. It's just very funny.
You still see a bit of that every now and then. It always makes me smile, that. Whenever I see a mod haircut on someone in their 40s, I'm always like, oh, God, yeah, you've been about, haven't you? You've done it. You've seen it.
You were there.
You just go, don't you? Like, you were either there or you want people to think you were there. And either way, well played. Yeah. Either way, well played. You either want someone to think you were there or you were there. And I'm happy about that. That's fine. You can have that. You can definitely have that. That's why. Yeah. That's exactly why I used to wear my keys on a little clip on, like it was like I was on tour all the time, so people would know. Like, oh, hang on, that's a lot of keys on a clip. Maybe that person's been on tour. That was exactly. It's just like that.
That's the first thing you'd think. Not that you might be a janitor or a cleaner. Oh, just a bit of a rat.
or just a dickhead.
You're going on tour.
I was young, wasn't I? I was young and buzzy. Fucking young and buzzy, me mate, working in my little shit pub in Salford. Like, yeah, I was in Europe the other week.
Yeah, just because you got your keys on a chain, people are just automatically going to think, oh, that guy's been on tour.
Well, Mike, there's some people that knock about going around DIY venues with laminates on, and so do you know what? It's not that, it's fucking not that bad considering, is it? It's not that. Here you are, folks. If you're ever at a gig, right, and a band on tour, and they're playing like a pub, and they've got laminates on, and all the venues on the tour are venues that either don't have backstages or are places that you can just fucking walk around anywhere, and they've got laminates on, they're just frauds. They're doing something wrong. Check their hard drives. It won't be safe. It won't be safe.
Oh, man.
What's the scratch anyway, Mike? What's work saying?
It's pretty quiet. It's been like half and half, really. Some days it's picked up and it's got busy, but it's just been a bit on and off, really. It's not been going in because there's not really anyone in the office, so we're all sat 2 metres apart and that. But, I don't know, really. It's just fucking... is what it is. It's like things have changed a little bit, but we're just kind of getting round it at the same time. We're just playing it by ear. We're just kind of like, how can we just fucking carry on and get around everything?
So
we're just adapting to the virus, really.
Nice. Adapt, grow, change, survive.
Yeah, but it's all right. What about you? What's kicking in? What's kicking in quarantine zone 5?
It's all right, you know. It's all right. It's funny. Sorry, I'm just having a sip of this ridiculously strong coffee. Hang on. Ooh, so... it's been good. It's hard. Like, it's funny. Somebody said it the other day. Like, the all right days are sound. They just kind of go by. But the bad days are quite grim. I think. I think it's one of them where, like, you know, I'm quite lucky. Most of my mates are doing pretty well. So I'm surrounded by, you know, everyone's bored and it is shit. But overridingly, everyone I know is just accepting that it's shit and kind of making the most of it. So I'm surrounded by people that are sort of doing all right and having a good time. So it's not too it's not too bad, but you kind of almost forget, don't you? You'll have a few days in a row where you'll just be like kind of having a good time. And then for me, it's different. It must be shit being like going to work, but then not being able to see your mates and stuff like that. That must be, that's very different. I think the version I've got of lockdown is one of that's quite lucky, you know. Obviously, I got laid off, but fortunately, we've obviously brought out the album, and I've just been living off that, which is not ideal because obviously we've nearly sold out of albums now. We've got about 100 left, so
yeah.
I'm kind of running out of money because that 100 needs to pay for more vinyls, unless a record label wants to put it out. cough, please. Anyway, anybody, please, please just give us some money. I can't really do that, but I'm very lucky. Like, I've been so just grateful this whole time that, like, the fucking from playing in our band, you know, I've been able to actually enjoy this to be honest, like. I'm enjoying the lockdown as much as I possibly could. And, you know, that's not loads. It's not my favourite thing ever. But, like, I feel I'm in quite a privileged position to be, you know.
You're quite appreciative of the situation.
Yeah, I'm appreciative of the fact that it's, like, it's a bit of a privilege, you know. It's a global, you know, pandemic at the end of the day. You know, there's people dying everywhere, and I'm sort of sat here, and the only thing I really have to deal with is being, you know, a bit bored and a bit miserable. So, you know, overall, it's all right. I think one thing is that because of the fact that there are a lot of people dying and there's a lot of people who are really struggling at the moment, I think if you are in a position where things are all right, I think sometimes you're kind of like, oh, you know, it's all right, you know, it could be far worse. But I think it's all right to, you know, I think it's all right every now and then just to have a little moment to yourself, just to you know, revel in the fact that, because, you know, my mate Kyle, COVID's ruined his degree. Well, it's not ruined his degree, you know, but it kind of has, you know, it's ruined what he's going to do for his dissertation. You know, he can't, you know, he not got a job, can't go to lectures. It's, you know, taking his education away from him. You know, bands everywhere, venues are closing down, everyone's fucked, you know. So, you know, everyone's in the same boat, very much so. But, you know, it's all right every now and then to be like, yeah, I'm pretty gutted how this has ruined X, Y, and Z for me. There's like, you know what I mean? So, if you, you know, if you sat there right now, sort of holding it in a bit, you know, have a little, you know, fucking have a little cry or something to yourself. I had a little cry the other day. It was all right. It was all right. Pretty good. Got it all out. Had a bit of a scream. Like a scream. Scream into a pillow.
Ah! Yeah, a bit of that.
What did you do? Oh, yeah, man. That is what it is. Ah! Fuck's sake!
Ah!
God damn it! But yeah, nah, it's all right. It's all right. I'm at a bit of a loss though, mate, really. I'm quite beaten up by it. So Football Manager, which you know is isn't it? Just your response to that. The Football Manager is quite an integral part of my happiness, and it's completely broken on my computer. So I'm now.
Oh God.
My computer cannot run Football Manager, and I'm. I'm like. Genuinely contemplating buying like a 400 quid computer just to play Football Manager on.
It's a shame you can't play it on that Xbox or something.
I don't have an Xbox, do I?
That's what I mean, like, although Xboxes are quite expensive.
Yeah, no, I've not. The sort of problem is money. This is the other thing as well that I've been thinking about, right? So, you know, businesses are starting up again, which means there's going to be work for me somewhere soon. Be it temping or full time or whatever, but I'm going to be, I imagine probably by the end of this month it'll be like there will be jobs starting spurting about, and I'm thinking back to work the last 2 weeks before lockdown started. I was thinking, do you know what? I was like, that office actually, it was grim because it was a small confined office, but they were giving everybody out hand sanitizer and that for free. And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, it wasn't that actually what it was a bit weird being in work. It was really weird, but it wasn't that much different. And I was like, all right, because I've been getting a bit anxious about what it's going to be like going back to work, because I find going to the fucking shop so stressful, yeah? So I'm like, God, what if work's like going to the shop? But I'm thinking back to that and I'm thinking that's all right. But then my mind went to this bizarre place and I was like, what if you start going into offices and there's like plastic panels on like either side of your chair blocking you off, like sneeze guards, but they're not see-through. And I'm like,
yeah.
What if I've just got to do admin in a little box all day? I was like, because when you're doing like admin work and that, once you've got the process down, you can switch off. It's muscle memory. It's on the computer. You pretty much don't have to think about it. When you just, or I don't, if I'm following a process again and again, I can switch my brain off and I can just go somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
The only thing that would bring me back to earth is being able to have a quick chat with someone. Because you mind, sometimes you start thinking too hard about it and then you end up back in 2006.
Yeah, you're like,
exactly. What if you're stuck in a little box? I'm going to end up going all Gary Newman. Like, what if I'm just the computer now? It's like I would listen to... when I worked at Mighty on a Friday, I'd put my tunes in. Friday, non-uniform day, through the week. Some people would listen to music while they worked. I wouldn't, but on a Friday, I'd throw caution to the wind like a John, treat myself. I'd be like, not got a tie on, putting the headphones in, having a listen. But I would predominantly listen to Bruce Springsteen because the music just sort of, it was just a nice backing to working. It was just, you know, it's catchy songs. Yeah. They're all quite happy. There was a day where I listened to Gary Newman, and when you like punching in numbers into spreadsheets, like in time to metal, you know, you start losing it a little bit. And I remember going on my lunch break, like going for a walk, and I've had Gary Newman in my ears for like 3 hours just listening to all of his albums. And I'm literally, when I was walking, I felt like I was walking on one of those walkways they have, those assisted walkways they have in airports. I felt like I was being carried over. It was very strange. It was a very strange time.
You know what though, like, I think when you type into like the same rhythm as Gary Newman, like you really think you are the number, and like I think really tap into just being like, look at me, I'm trying to dash crunch the numbers to my computer.
When I went...
I'm one of the automatons.
When I went and saw him, I felt like a number. I did feel like a number.
Yeah.
What's he called them? Numanoids or something like that?
Numanoids.
Something like
liquid
that.
Liquid Engineers.
Yeah, the Liquid Engineers. The greatest cover band name of all time.
Oh, yeah.
The greatest cover band.
Look at me, I'm a liquid engineer.
Have you ever seen a cover band, but not at a festival where you've just been to see them?
Yeah, I've seen a few actually.
Oh, go on.
They have a lot in Rochdale. Empire has a lot on.
It's because it's a shithole.
Who've I seen now? I've seen a Pink Floyd one.
Oh, you
but they
dad.
Weren't really, but they weren't really like they weren't like the full thing. They just kind of played the odd song. I know a guy played.
They just played the odd song.
No. What I mean is like I know a guy who plays in like a full on like tribute band where they have like the fucking back screen and everything. Like they have all the mad lights the same as they did. But these are just like some guys playing like Pink Floyd songs and the odd like other song as well.
All right.
What else have I seen? I've not seen an Oasis one yet, and I really wanted because like none of them are good. Like none of them are good.
Do you know what's funny? Danny Cummins and me were chatting about this in a car once.
Oh yeah.
We were Danny from Fair Dues. Check that band out. If you've not listened, I wasn't saying that to you. But you obviously know him. We were saying how. Like, because obviously they did the Oasis cover set, and he was saying, we're semi thinking about just doing an Oasis tribute band because none of them are fucking good, man. It's like, you go, what, they're all shite. He was like, they're all fucking shite. They spend too long trying to look like him and less time trying to sound like him. And I was like, do you know what? You are right there. I was like, you are absolutely, you're absolutely right. They do tend to be quite wank. But the thing is that it's quite a bold move trying to be a, trying to be a cover band. I don't think I could ever play in one because what if you were just not doing a good job? It's annoying though because it is where the fucking money's at, Mike. It's so funny, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
When we went, it was like it's kind of a semi-running meme when you're playing a band of, should we just start a covers band? When you go to like study music at like college and that, they tell you to like start a function band and shit like that because that's where the money's at. I call it music thrifting. It's like people who make a career on playing like, and there's nothing wrong with this, by the way. I actually have so much respect to people who do this. People who just earn a living off playing the odd fucking like wedding gig here and there, doing a bit of fucking guitar work here, filling in a bit there. Some people earn like so much more money than I earn working 45 hours a week doing that. And it's like, do you know what? Fucking fair play to you. You fucking just playing your guitar in a band, having a good time, safe. You're living a version of the dream there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and, that's a band who played at my uncle's wedding. That they had all the gear, like they had a fucking fat PA. They had the lot, and it's just they just played at weddings. They were fucking mint at what they did. They could play most songs like that you want to hear, and like they fucking just got on with it. And that's like what they did, like as a thing.
We did an amazing Green Day cover set.
Oh yeah, I think we captured what we was going out to do perfectly.
Well, I don't think. Sometimes I'm like, we could probably tour it. We would never do it now. We would never do it now because we're very much bored of having people say we sound like Green Day because we don't anymore.
Yeah, and I'm very much surpassed kind of being wanting to kind of play Green Day. So like, I don't really want to play many Green Day songs.
But I do sometimes think we could tour it. We started joking on our tour with the Catalyst Kids saying, because like, some of the gigs on that tour were like shit. Like there was no one there. It didn't matter. But a lot of like the people at the gigs, like we just heard it said a few times. There was one gig where we played with a covers band, and that was like the best attended gig we played of the whole fucking tour. Was the band where the covers gig brought loads. The covers band brought just so many people.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Numb they were called. They just brought so many people. And we were like, yeah. And then when we played the Trades in Rotherham, like, it's a venue that like tribute bands play and sell out, but we didn't. So we were, by the end of the tour, we were like, right, next tour, we're just doing our Green Day set before our set. We'll just support ourselves, or we'll support the Green. What we'll do is we'll do a Green Day tribute band and just support that. We're like, and that'll be like, that's the greasiest way of building an audience. that's worse than a Kickstarter. That's the slimiest way. Like, imagine if we started like an Oasis tribute band and just had Aerial Salad open every night. Like, oh yeah, so you'll get a couple of fans. What you do, right? What you do is you start tribute band, work your own stuff at the beginning. You really gotta work your songs at the beginning. You gotta work them like Bret Hart. You gotta put the audience in a hole. You gotta rest them down, whittle them down, and sooner or later they'll buy your goddamn record. That is basically, that's basically been the attitude of this band, actually, which is, if we just keep playing, eventually enough people will hear of us where some people will like it enough to tell their mates. It's not like, if at every gig one person tells their mates, eventually there'll be loads. It's more like, if you play about 20 gigs, you'll find one cunt who really likes you. And that's the way it's got to be done. And then look, and that, you know what I mean? It's worked. It fucking worked. It worked. You know. It's so nice, man. It's so nice. I can't wait till we get back at it. I really can't.
Oh, mate, I'm fucking itching to do it. Like, my mate just brought out a new series. Go and check out Tokyo. Just a bit of a drop. But, like, they've been rehearsing. But, like, they started, like, last year, and they've only played about two or three gigs. Like, they only started gigging the late half of last year. And, like, they've not even been able to kind of get on the kind of cycle, you know, getting into it. Like, just as they started, they've had it taken away. And I'm like, I couldn't think of anything worse. And, you know, you've only just, like, played a couple of gigs and, like, you know, you've got a whole new year ahead of you.
Yeah.
And you've had it stripped away. I was just like, same for us. It's like, what was it you had planned? It's just like, ah, God, I'm hungry. I saw a clip of this live at Longfest and I was like, oh, God, I just fucking miss it so much.
Yeah. Because the thing is, as well, is, like, we talk about last year, like, we barely played any gigs last year. We were still fucking gigging a lot last year. Like,
oh, big time.
We easily did about 60 last year. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, well, no, we probably did about 40. But, like,
we did more than you think, honestly. Like, we did a lot of gigs last year.
The last time we had a rough go at counting, we'd done a few hundred. So we gig a lot, and, what it is that the longest we tend to go without having a gig, or in the last 3 years, the longest we went has been maybe 2 months at the most, is like the longest we'll go.
That was in the first year. That was the first year we started playing as well. We had a 2 month gap. That feels like the longest we've ever had.
Yeah, actually, I think since we've started the band, we've pretty much like had at least one gig a month.
Yeah, absolute minimum.
Like, we've pretty much just been going at. I mean, yeah, at the beginning there was more, but the last like 3 years, there hasn't been many periods where we've not had a gig. But when I say it's not like the immediate playing it, it's also looking forward to it. It's also practicing. Like, it's been a bit annoying because we've had like obviously about 50 fucking drummers. So last year, you know, we had the album recorded and all the practices we did were just playing the Dirt Mall songs, like just playing those songs, getting our set as good as possible. So we didn't have a lot of chance to like have a proper practice where, you know, you go through your new songs, have a little bit of a laugh and that. So the prospect of that coming back is so exciting to me, because there's the looking forward to a gig part's also a really good bit about it. Like, you know, everyone, there's never a gig we play where I'm not just like, where I'm not just buzzing to be doing it. There's some where, like, if we've got, like, say we're doing three in a row and I'll be completely, burnt out on the Saturday, maybe I'll, you know, I'll be hungover or whatever, like, oh, fucking hell, got a gig today, Jesus. But I'm never like, oh, I can't be arsed. There's never a time where I'm like, oh, you know, fuck this. Like, I just look forward to it, you know. It makes my week and it gets you through, you know, like, the reality, again, like, the reality for, like, me and Mike is, you know, we're not educated particularly, you know, we have been educated, but we didn't do very well, so we've not got degrees and stuff like that. We're probably going to be working quite remedial jobs forever, but because we've got music, like, it's not a career in the sense where it's, you know, our primary source of income, and it will be forever. But it's something to put your time and your life into, and stuff like having a shit job doesn't really matter when you can just justify it, because it's like, oh, well, yeah, I do, you know, I hate going to work, but I do it for the band. And it's like anything. It's like any time, you know, you're just sort of having a bit of a shit time, you're just like, ah, yeah, but, you know, I suffer so I can have all these good times. But, you know, so when that's kind of gone, it's a bit, you know, it's just a bit of shit. But, you know, there's the same for everyone. You know, so, you know, people who play fucking Sunday League have had that. Oh, it is one, right? It is fucking one. Danny Rose, Tottenham and Newcastle player, saying the football shouldn't come back. The Bundesliga started yesterday, or on Saturday, as everyone knows. I really fucking don't think the football should be starting at all. And I agree with what Danny Rose says. Obviously, people saying the football needs to start for the UK's morale. Fuck the UK's morale. Seriously, like, honestly, it takes one... I mean, any footballer dies, it's a travesty. But imagine if, like, fucking Kevin De Bruyne gets COVID and dies of it. Like,
innit?
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I know these are like athletes. They're very, you know, their bodies are going to be probably quite good at resisting it or whatever. I'm not too sure. I'm not a doctor. Don't know how it works. But what I do know is if a single footballer dies and contracts COVID from playing football because it's been rushed back, it's just, that's just not fucking smart. Like, it's just not smart. It's just, the thing is that I understand that the kind of the football needs to be played for the clubs to survive. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it is people's lives. And the other thing is like, is it going to be any benefit having the clubs play with no one watching, no one at the stadiums? Hey. It's like, if it's not safe enough for people to go to the stadiums, it's not safe enough for the players to play. And it's like, you know...
Yeah, I have it. Oh, you don't you?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, the fucking... I don't know, it's like... I kind of feel bad for footballers at the minute because, you know, they do live a cushy life, and I never feel bad for footballers usually because of how good the life is. But, like, you know, a lot of them right now are just as confused as everyone else is about COVID. You know, they'll be just as... They don't know what's happening. They don't... A footballer's career is very short, right? Very short. And if you're 20... So if you're between the age of like 22, in fact, if you're between the age of like 30 and 36 as a footballer, you're winding down in your career. This, you know, if COVID goes on for like a year, it might end a lot of footballers' careers. That, you know, people who had another year left in them might, or another few years, might have, you know, might retire early or whatever, might just be like, oh, I've not got it. You know, so there's a lot of, you know, it is people's careers. There's a lot of uncertainty going on. And then I just feel like, you know, you shouldn't be rushing them back. Football, this is the problem with football at the minute. It's a business and the players are just commodity. That's how they're treating it. They're treating it like, they're treating it just like they're treating the economy, really. They're like, well, we need to get it back on track. We need to send people back into work. You know, and it feels like it's, you know, we need to send certain people back to work. It's like what they were saying, oh, you know, you can't have your family come round to the house, but you can't have the cleaner. It's like, oh, you fucking stupid cunt.
I know, yeah.
It's like, you stupid bastards. Because when they say stuff like that, it's just ignorant and stupid. They're smarter than that. I know they're smarter than that. I know these people that went to Eton College, and I know these people who are in politics are smarter than to know, than to just be ignorant of the fact that, like, that just doesn't work. Do you know what I mean? They know what they're saying is wrong there.
They're winging it, aren't they?
Yeah, they're just fucking... Yeah, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue what's going on.
Even the lads at the top are just kind of going, oh, fucking hell, lads. I'm not gonna lie. I'll be gonna solve this, like, and it's not gonna happen overnight.
At the end of the day, like, these are the people running this country are humans. They're cunts and they're humans, and they are probably looking at all the information, going, "Oh shit, I don't know how to deal with this. I didn't learn this at Oxford. They don't teach you this." And I'm not, like, showing any sympathy, because there is no sympathy to be given. I really do feel like this country has been treated terribly by its government, or the situation has, well, I don't even feel that way, it has been handled terribly. Got the second most fucking deaths, do you know what I mean? Like, It's bizarre. It's bizarre how badly it's been handled. It's outrageous how badly it's been handled, and serious questions need to be asked. But at the same time, I don't understand why it's been handled so badly. And that's what I need to know. I want to understand why it's been... why they've just where all this ignorance is coming from. And also, as well, like, because the... you know, the government's not being direct with people. That's why you've got these fools knocking about in Hyde Park. It's why you've got fools knocking about saying end the lockdown and shit like that, thinking that the people who are so Alex Jones'd up because they're not being given information. If you tell people the truth, right, if you tell people the truth about a situation, even if the situation is bad and people aren't going to be happy with the news, if you tell them the truth, there's no speculation. Speculation's dangerous because it's based on bollocks, yeah? It's not based on fact. And when you're not basing things on fact and you're running on pure emotion and you're running on naivety, that's how you end up with problems, that. That's how you end up with fucking loads and loads of cunts in Hyde Park protesting the virus. That's how you end up with cunts spitting on people. That's how you end up with bastards just fucking being stupid. You know, people are thick. People are so thick. And you can't...
all the cunts and all the bastards.
Yeah, you people... yeah. People are too thick for a global pandemic. People aren't smart enough to... I'm not saying I am. I don't fucking have a clue, do I? I'm not a scientist. I don't know what we need to do. So we need to be told. We need to be told by these people that you elect... the reason you elect politicians is you effectively are trusting them to handle the decisions of the country. So, because they're the people... you're like, all right, these people seem pretty smart. These people... are, but, you know, I get behind what they see as the right thing. I'll go with that. They're not doing anything. They're just not doing anything. They're not making the decisions. They're not making the hard choices. That's why so many people died. They didn't want to make the decision of lockdown. There's a game called EU4, right? It's a game where it's like Civilization 5 and that. It's a bit like Risk. Basically, on that, a random event can happen and the Spanish flu can break out. And you have the choice. Quarantine the state and lose loads of money for a little bit, or risk the virus of spreading. And, you know, fair enough, you don't lose any money immediately, but your entire economy might collapse because everyone dies of Spanish flu. I'm smart enough to quarantine the fucking area. That's a game. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't want the whole virtual country to die. I'll just... everyone here chill for a bit. Let's just lock down. You know, don't go get your mead. Jesus Christ. Anyway, Mike, that's enough ranting. That's enough whinging. Would you like to sign us off for the day?
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, to take what Jamie said, just fucking look after yourselves, man. Ignore them. Well, don't ignore them cunts in Hyde Park. Look at them and look at them in anger and go, fuck off, don't do that. Stay inside and stop this fucking off. You know what? The more you try and like break the lockdown, the worse it's gonna do. Just wait until you're told and then go and do whatever. You know what I mean? But yeah, look after yourselves. If you have a product you want to use to sponsor this show, then put it, even if it's hand sanitizer, you know, we'll go with anything at this point. Get in touch and we'll fucking advertise it for you. But aside from that, look after yourselves. Look after one another, and yeah, don't be a dick. Be sound, and that's it.
Peace.
Nice one.